Our theme this evening is New Age, Old Deception. New Age, Old Deception. I'm sure we've all heard of the New Age movement. We don't hear as much, perhaps, of direct reference to it now as in years past, and yet the effects of it are very much with us today. Now, we address this subject with some trepidation. The New Age movement differs from most other cult systems in not having an organization or even a uniform system of beliefs. It is a movement that encompasses many movements with no official central controlling structure, no statement saying this is exactly what all New Agers believe. So the first thing we must address is, what is New Age? What is it? What is New Age? Well, it's not a uniform, structured movement. Some things form a common core to New Age thought. There are certain things that are pretty much at the core and common to all who in some way or another would regard themselves as part of the New Age movement or New Age in their views. First of all is the idea all is one. All is one. This is known as monism. Monism, the idea that everything is one. And it's not a new idea. It has been held for centuries by many of the Eastern religions. The idea here is that everything is connected and interdependent, and there is no distinction between God the Creator and the creation. All is part of one continuous reality with no boundaries and no real divisions. So that's monism. All is one. Everything is one. That whether we think of the planets, the earth, the trees, men, women, animals, plants, all is one. That's monism. Then the second thing is, all is God. All is God. That's pantheism. So everything is one and everything is God. All things, plants, animals, peoples, material, inanimate material, everything is one and everything is God. On this view of pantheism, God is more of an it than a he, and comprises all that exists. And therefore, when pushed to its conclusion, there is no good and evil, nor is good to overcome evil. What is required is a state of consciousness which transcends all apparent divisions, boundaries, and individualism. In other words, thinking must be brought in line with the reality, according to the New Ager, that all is one and all is God. Then the third thing is that humanity is God. Humanity is God. That's the third principle of the core of New Ageism. Everything is one, everything is God, therefore humanity is God. So, for example, one New Age writer says, it has long been held that whoever denies the transcendent God asserts his own divinity. In dropping God, man recovers himself. It is time that God be put in his place, that is, in man, and no nonsense about it. Of course, this is blasphemy, but that is what they believe. They hold that we are God in disguise. And only ignorance keeps us from realizing our divine reality. And so our goal, according to Theodore Roosevelt, is to awaken to the God who sleeps at the root of the human being. And another writer puts it very bluntly, kneel to your own self, honor and worship your own being. God dwells within you as you. And another writer, Shirley MacLaine, perhaps better known than some of them, we already know everything. The nameless of our divinity is the highest intelligence, and to be what we already know is the free will. Free will is simply the enactment of the realization you are God, a realization that you are divine. Free will is making everything accessible to you. Now, Hinduism has long taught the individual self is really the universal self. So this stuff isn't new. Classical occultism has taught that as above, so below. That is, that God and humanity are one. And this is also true of what are known as the self-actualizing psychologies. So these ideas are not, they're not new. They have been around for a long time. So, all is one, all is God, therefore humanity is God. The fourth thing is the need of a change in consciousness. A change in consciousness. All is one, all is God, we are God, and a change of consciousness is needed to realize our true identity. Western culture, according to the New Ages, has shaped our consciousness, and that needs to be changed. And so we think, our thinking has allegedly been governed by Western culture, and we need to get out of that and to think completely differently. Various techniques are put forward to achieve this change of consciousness. Various heightened experiences are seen as the means, the entry point, to bring about this change of consciousness. Transcendental meditation, yoga, self-hypnotism, sexual activity, extreme physical achievement in sport, hallucinogenic drugs, training sessions, creating emotional extremes, these are all used as entry points to bring about this alleged change of consciousness whereby we are meant to realize our true identity as divine. Then fifthly, all religions are one. All religions are one. All religions are said to be the experience of the God within. And Jesus Christ, along with Buddha, Krishna, and others, are regarded as enlightened ones. Some New Age writers regard the early heresy of Gnosticism as the true form of Christianity. They refer to it as the lost Christianity. And Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, meaning knowledge. And the Gnostics claimed that they, in various ways, had access to a special knowledge, and that professing Christianity was simply a first stage, but the real experience was this knowledge, to be initiated into this knowledge by various means. And so the apocryphal so-called Gospel of Thomas is quoted with approval, in which Jesus Christ is blasphemously represented as saying, "It is I who am the all, from me did the all come forth, and out of me did the all extend. take a piece of wood and I am there. Lift up the stone and you will find me there. That's from the Apocrypha, the Gospel of Thomas, as it is so called. It's spurious. But it was used by the Gnostics and reflects their outlook, and some New Ages very much approve of early Gnosticism and their writings. So that's the fifth thing. So all is one, all is God, humanity is God, a change of consciousness is needed, all religions are one, and then finally, optimistic views of the universe. Optimistic views of the universe. New Age teaches that the world has passed through a succession of ages, and recently through the age of Pisces, the fish, the Christian age, and this age of Pisces, the Christian age, was fueled by masculine yang energy. But now a new era has dawned, the age of Aquarius, fueled by feminine yin energy, hence the rise of feminism. And new ages are expectant. They believe in a progressive evolution of harmonization and unification of world consciousness, reaching the omega point where all consciousness is fused and all become one with the one. According to one writer, Barbara Marx Hubbard, the millions are now actively praying, listening to inner intuition, expanding their awareness toward whole-centered consciousness. We will be as superior to present-day humanity as we were to the apes. And they speak of the Messiah within that will lead us forward to a glorious future. And whilst there is no single organization that you can say, this is New Ageism, this organization, we must not overlook the place of modern communications in the New Age movement. Computerization means that they look to this to globalize and unify consciousness. That's not saying that computers are wrong, it's simply saying that they look upon computers as a means of unifying global consciousness. Well, now, don't be too alarmed if a lot of that doesn't make a great deal of sense to you. It is rather abstract and vague, but that roughly is the outline of the core of New Age belief. Then secondly, the historical development of New Age. The historical development of New Age. Where did it come from? Well, first of all, we can consider the hippie movement of the 60s. Although some of the outward extravagances of this movement have died out, the ideas behind it have not. Most certainly they have not. Atheistic, materialistic humanism was running out of steam in terms of the young generation. You see, biblical Christianity had been rejected, and in its place was atheistic humanism. And so, for example, Bertrand Russell, the philosopher, said the only on the firm foundation of unyielding despair can the soul's habitation be safely built. What Russell apparently believed in all his complicated philosophy was that there is no meaning, that everything could have no meaning at all and could come to nothing. And many people were not willing to swallow that particular pill of atheism. And the beatniks of the 50s rejected traditional Western culture, and in the 60s there was a marked increase in interest in Eastern mysticism, Zen Buddhism and Hinduism and so on. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and Transcendental Meditation came along, Hare Krishna, drugs that produce unusual experiences, the occult, these were all part of it. The Beatles brought together these drugs, hallucinogenic drugs, Eastern philosophy, and political dissent. So that movement was a movement that rejected the old humanism, but didn't go back to biblical Christianity. It looked to the Eastern religions and philosophy for something that provided more than the old style atheism and humanism. Astrology played a part. You see, the age of Aquarius is an astrological term. Astrology, not astronomy, astronomy studying the stars, that's a legitimate science, but astrology, trying to read the future from the stars, is based on a monistic philosophy that all is one, everything is one. And so there's a connection between what the stars are doing and what's going to happen on Earth, because all is one. So astrology, which is condemned utterly in the Bible, is based on monism, that all is one. And that's why there's a connection between what's happening in the stars and what's going to happen in the lives of individuals. Then also we have the advance of multi-faith, and multi-faith, the idea of several religions, all sort of equally valid. And we might think that this is the opposite of the kind of unification that New Age aims at, that this means a lot of different views, but it doesn't. And it doesn't for this reason. If it becomes unacceptable to say this position, this set of doctrines is exclusively true, if no one is to be allowed to say that, then that means that no one knows. And so religion is reduced to a matter of personal taste. This one suits me best. So okay, you like Christianity, that's okay, but I like Hinduism and Buddhism, Transcendental Meditation, whatever. But if no religion can claim to be exclusively true, because biblical Christianity does, the Lord Jesus did make exclusive claims, we'll come to that in a moment. If nothing can say this is true to the exclusion of all others, then that means nobody's certain about any system of belief. And all are open to monism, that is, that all is one, and to pantheism, that all is God. In other words, the core of New Age belief becomes common, and common to all religions, it becomes required, so that the apparent tolerance of New Age is not to be trusted. It isn't really tolerant. It tolerates lots of variations, but it does not tolerate anyone saying this is the objective truth. Then some expressions of New Age. How does it express itself? How does it affect what people do and what they believe and so on? Some big things, some little things. First of all, holistic alternative health. Holistic alternative health. Whilst we are whole persons, many of the holistic medical views are saying more than that one part of us can be affected by another. That's obviously true, even with my limited medical knowledge, you know that one part of you can affect another. We all know that. But many of the holistic alternative medicine schemes are not just saying that. They're stressing the life force and that we are part of the universal energy. Now, I don't feel competent to say a great deal about that, but it does mean that holistic alternative medicines, we're not saying that all alternative medicine is New Age, but it does mean that you should be aware of what lies behind any particular form of alternative holistic medicine. A second aspect of this is belief in reincarnation. Belief in reincarnation. Through the right consciousness, they do seek to prolong life, and death is seen as a transition to another state of consciousness. But often New Agers believe in reincarnation, according to the Eastern religious thought, that many lives are needed to reach oneness. Living right accumulates good karma and a better lot next time round. A bad life means bad karma, and next time round we may be an animal or something like that. That's partly what lies behind some of the extreme animal rights movements. Others deny the distinction between good and evil, since all that matters is being at one with the One. Charles Manson, the murderer, you remember Charles Manson who murdered Sharon Tate and others, he was deeply involved in pantheistic groups. Remember, pantheism means that everything is God. He was involved in several of those groups, including Scientology, and believed that he had reached a stage of consciousness beyond morality, beyond right and wrong. It is this all is one that lies behind the vague spirituality. You know, you've probably heard of celebrities and so on talking these days about spirituality. In the past, that wouldn't have been done. It wasn't fashionable to talk about spirituality. But now they do talk about spirituality, but they don't mean anything like what we mean. It's the kind of spirituality that was expressed, for example, at Princess Diana's funeral, and the candle in the wind and so on. This vague spirituality that everything's all right, because we're not individuals, we're all part of the One. And so death ceases to have any great horror, but not for the right reason. Not because they have hope in Christ, but because we're all part of the One. And that explains the new sort of relaxed approach to death. A third element in which New Ageism expresses itself is feminism and goddess religions. Feminism and goddess religion. Rejecting Christianity as patriarchal religion and going back to paganism and the idea of a female nature, feminism is very much part of the New Age agenda. And certainly some elements in New Age, especially the goddess religion elements, the pagan goddess religion elements, they don't just believe in female equality, they believe in female superiority. That we've got to get, as they say, beyond God the Father, back as they see it, to Mother Nature, the goddess. And discover the goddess within. A third element is the view of the world order. If all is one, then they seek a unified political order Now, they do vary as to what they aim at here. Not all of them seek a centralized, united, unified world order. Some think it should be small scale, but there should be a harmonious political order compatible with the oneness of the cosmos, of the universe. Thirdly, why study New Age? Why study New Age? Well, we do not recommend detailed study for every Christian, only if it's necessary. But some basic awareness is useful in order to confront it, especially as New Age uses terms like God, Christ, spirituality, rebirth, and so on, in a sense completely different from the Christian use of these terms. Gordon Lewis, a professor of theology visiting India, he wrote this in a preface to a book on New Age. He says, I could see, this is after he'd been to India, I could see how difficult it is to evangelize pantheists who believe that they are already divine, have endless potential for self-improvement, are not inherently sinful, and not in need of the gracious once-for-all provision of Jesus Christ's atonement. I began to understand why, after 200 years of missionary work, only some 4% of the world's second largest population is, in any sense of the word, Christian. How important it is to keep monism from becoming dominant in schools, homes, businesses, governments, and churches. Now, we know that it's the Holy Spirit who changes hearts. It's the Holy Spirit, and he can change the heart of a monist, and a pantheist, and a New Ager, as he pleases. But we can readily see how monism, apart from divine grace, hardens the heart and puts a layer of delusion over the depraved heart of man against the gospel. Well, fourthly, biblical truth at variance with New Age. Biblical truth at variance with New Age. First of all, God the Creator and the creation are distinct. God the Creator and the creation are distinct. There are many passages in Scripture, but Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? There, speaking of God in human terms, with fingers, but it is quite evident that the Creator and the creation are distinct. Secondly, man is not God. Man is not God. Ever since the serpent in the Garden of Eden saying to the woman, God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods. Men have been listening to that lie ever since. In his wicked pride, man wants to be God. He wants to be independent of God and not need God. That's why the gospel is so offensive, because the gospel says you're not God. God is your judge. God holds you guilty. And the only way of salvation is in absolute dependence upon God and his son Jesus Christ. That we're totally dependent upon the mere good pleasure of God for salvation. That's why it's so offensive. The gospel contradicts this proud delusion of man at every point. And the more consistently and biblically it's preached, the more offensive to the pride of man it is. Because the true gospel puts man down. Says he's not God. He's a creature, a guilty creature, an accountable creature, a dependent creature. Isaiah 14 and verse 13. Isaiah 14. And verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Ezekiel 28 and verse 1 and 2. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel, there is no secret that they can hide from thee, and so on. Or Acts chapter 12 and verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. There Herod set himself, he was prepared to receive this acclamation of deity, and whatever change of consciousness he underwent, it brought the wrath of God upon him. So God is the creator, God the creator, and the creation are distinct. Man is not God. Thirdly, God is triune. Even within the Godhead there is plurality. Baptism is in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. One name, but three persons. And it's very important that the doctrine of the Trinity should not be assumed, but proclaimed. Then fourthly, God is personal and judges men. God is personal and judges men. He is distinct from man and he judges men. We read in Acts 17, He shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. He judges individually. Every one of us must give account of himself to God. Whatever the connection between individuals, there is individuality, individual accountability. And fifthly, God has spoken in Scripture. Enlightenment is not within, it's through Scripture. We need the Scriptures. The Scriptures are inspired by God. The Scriptures are able to make wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Then sixthly, Christ is the second person of the triune Godhead who became a man and bore the guilt of sin. We are not divine. And in the New Age sense, in which all of us supposedly are, or the Mormon sense of what we become. The Mormons believe that salvation in its ultimate goal is absorption into the divine essence. But we are not divine in the New Age sense, of which we all are supposed to be divine. Nor do we look for Christ within, but as set forth in the Scriptures. And though we need the Holy Spirit to work within, to enable us to know and embrace the truth itself is in the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit leads into the truth, and it leads us to understand and to embrace and to believe and to rejoice in the truth of the Holy Scriptures. And seventhly, death comes once and is followed by heaven and hell. Heaven or hell. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. It's not a endless series of reincarnations. It's a delusion. There is heaven for those who die in Christ. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, for they rest from their labors and their works to follow them. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And then there is hell for those who die without Christ. The
parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And then, finally, we are not in charge. God is. This is the final point of biblical variation from New Age, biblical opposition to New Age. We are not in charge. God is. We're not God, and we do not govern the universe. God does. We sang that in Psalm 33. For things forever says that earth and all that live therein with reverence fear the Lord. And then it goes on. He speaks and it is done. His word is established without delay. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. For in Psalm 135, what things soever pleased the Lord, that in the heavens did he, and in the earth, and in the sea, the places deep with thee. See, Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged that the Most High doeth his will amongst the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Then finally, fifth point, how should we view New Age? How should we view New Age? Well, first of all, it is blasphemous, and it is anti-Christian. That's obvious. Secondly, we should view it in proportion. God is still God. And the New Age movement is subject to the decree of God. Also, it is the papal antichrist that is pinpointed in Scripture as the outstanding enemy of the church. So let's not be distracted by New Age. The papal antichrist is the preeminent enemy of the church of God, according to the Scripture. Not New Age. Now that didn't mean that there couldn't be a tie-up. It doesn't mean that the papacy couldn't use New Age. The papacy has an immense ability to adjust and to ride along with movements and to make use of it. Who knows what use may yet? I don't know. I claim no gift to prophesy that the rise of feminism could be used to promote Mariolatry. We don't know. But we mustn't be so engrossed in trying to keep track of the New Age movement that we first of all become distracted from the good of our own souls by feeding upon the Scriptures, or secondly that we be distracted from the fact that the Pope of Rome is the man of sin, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself in the, against all that is called God. And we should keep that in mind. And thirdly, the biblical doctrine of God must be proclaimed. The biblical doctrine of God must be proclaimed. In Acts 17, verse 23, "But as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Now, if you study that passage, you will see God, that the apostle preaches what God is like. That God and the creation are distinct, that God made all things. Verse 24, that God is transcendent, that is, that he's infinitely above all things, that he is personal, he is to be sought. Verse 27, that he judges human conduct, that he is not like material things, silver and gold, that he commands repentance, that he will judge all men. We must not assume that people have any clear idea that when we use the term God, they know what we mean. If there ever was a time when we could assume that, and I'm not sure that there was, it certainly isn't now. The message of the cross has no meaning without the doctrine of God, what God is like. That God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. People have to be told that. There's a generation growing up in many parts of the United Kingdom, and they have never been told what God is like. We've got to preach and teach that God is triune, that there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are the same in substance, equal in power and glory, or one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. We must resist all attempts to blur the distinction between God and man. The most obvious, or one of the most obvious, is the prosperity gospel. I don't even know much about it, but the prosperity gospel, people like Benny Hinn, and these people, Kenneth Copeland, they tell people that they can take the place of God, that by using faith-filled words, name it and claim it, that man is in the driving seat, that God is just subservient. Because all false doctrines of salvation give to man what belongs to God. Roman Catholicism does that. Arminianism does that. But then we must say that feminism must be resisted in the church. Feminism must be resisted in the church. The created order of male and female, with male leadership, must be reflected in the church. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. New Age feminism is armed to the teeth against the authority of the Word of God. It is at enmity with biblical Christianity. To highly esteem godly women does not require the setting aside of the biblical role distinctions in the church. And indeed, godly women will not want that anyway. Then finally, prove all things. Prove all things. Test everything. Alternative medicines, psychotherapies, mind cures. These are often regarded as entry points for the change of consciousness that the New Age of beliefs is necessary. Above all, let us be looking unto Jesus, the real Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the right hand of God, who blesses his people with peace.